Okay, thank you for the introduction. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes about some of the work that we are doing with SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Before we go too far, there are no personal financial relationships to disclose. And by way of background, I work for IQ Solutions. We're a mid-sized firm based out of Rockville, Maryland. We work primarily with the federal government, but we also work with the private sector. We're dedicated to improving the lives of all Americans, and we do that by blending traditional communication approaches with the effective application of technology. A little bit about our client, SAMHSA. They're an operating division within the Department of Health and Human Services. They have a contract called the Public Engagement Platform, and that's what we work on at IQ Solutions. The purpose of this program is to essentially take the information that SAMHSA produces, whether it's a bookmark or a flyer or a big treatment manual, and get that out to the public. So if you call their toll-free phone number or if you go to store.samhsa.gov, you're actually coming to us, and we are then disseminating the content to the people who need it. SAMHSA produces a lot of information. You see in this graphic 127 million touch points. That's over a five-year period, and it's the people who are calling us, the people who are coming to the website. We also do email blasts for SAMHSA as well and other things like that. So we've been operating this program for several years, and the challenge that we have faced and are increasingly facing is sort of represented in this image. And you see lots of different silos. For many years, content that was developed, it was pretty straightforward in how you get it out. You develop the content, and you send it to GPO, and it gets printed, and the copies come to a warehouse, and you order it on the phone, and out the content goes. With the emergence of the web, with the emergence of social media, this has changed quite a bit. And with every new channel, new silos have been added to how content is developed, how content is cleared, and how content is disseminated. So a few examples as we look through this. SAMHSA has a thriving web presence, SAMHSA.gov, and content is developed for that channel. They use different social media tools. What's really interesting about social media is that the tools that they use now are not the same tools that might have been used 5 years ago and are very likely not the tools that will be used 5 years from now, which presents its own set of unique challenges from a content development standpoint, that if 5 years ago they produced content for MySpace, that content is still sitting in MySpace. And it's not coming back. And, you know, we use Facebook and Twitter a lot now, but new things are emerging, you know, things like Pinterest and lots of new channels. There are lots of different contractors developing content for SAMHSA, and the final product might be delivered back to the agency in the form of a PDF or something like that, or the hard copies. But in some instances, the native files, the InDesign files, the graphics that go into the development of the content may also then just be sitting with that contractor. And then finally, the one furthest on the right is the traditional warehouse and print publications and PDFs. So there are a lot of inefficiencies with this. The content development process can be duplicative. So I might say, well, I know there's content in this book, and I'm going to adapt it for a different channel, but I'm going to that resource and then writing new content based on that. Or maybe the new content is being developed without the author realizing that there's other content on that topic that exists. There are different clearance processes for each channel, which is interesting, and essentially what you have, if you're familiar with how content is cleared within government, the agency has to sign off on it. So in this case, SAMHSA has to sign off on it, and then HHS has to sign off on it, and that's the traditional way of getting content cleared. But then there are different clearance processes for each of these channels, and in some instances you end up essentially having to clear the same content multiple times. Because it's already been cleared for one channel, but then you're using a different channel. The other challenge that these silos present are the fact that if you want to update the content, and even if it's just a minor change, you need to track it down in all the different places that that content exists. And it's hard to do that, and it takes time to do that. So these are the challenges that we've been facing. And we've been trying to figure out essentially how to resolve these challenges and working with SAMHSA to make that a reality. The way that we're doing that is following essentially an underlying theme called Create Once, Publish Everywhere. This idea was coined by NPR several years ago based on some similar challenges that they have been facing, and I think it's a good summary of sort of what we're doing. So the first piece of what we have developed is essentially a model that says, here's how content should be organized. And it is not meant in any way to restrict the author's ability to develop any type of content that they want, but it does put some structure around it. And we are really pushing this idea of bites, snacks, and meals. So instead of starting from the idea of presenting or writing, you know, a tip sheet or writing a treatment manual or writing a blog post, we're saying, what is the actual topic that we're writing about? And let's develop the content based on the topic, not based on the channel. And so you would include chunks of content of varying lengths and, you know, mix it up any way that you want, but as long as the content is all there and it's all in one file. A bite is something that would be suitable for something like Twitter, so it's just a couple of sentences about whatever the topic is. A snack would be a few paragraphs, would be suitable for a one-pager or a blog post or a press release, something like that. And then the meal is the full content, you know, whatever that is. What we do is we store that content, and I won't make this too technical, but we store this content in a markup language called XML. XML stands for Extensible Markup Language, and it essentially takes all of the formatting and all of the presentation elements out of the content. So the content is just plain text. And you put the information about what the content is in tags around the content. And not tags that have no meaning. If you're familiar with HTML, you might have a B in brackets, and that means bold, and you need to know that it means bold. What we do in this model is just say exactly what the content is. So in this example, you see the NSATS report, and that's the journal title, and there's a tag that says journal title, and that's what goes around the content. What this allows us to do is then build layers on top of the content that is searching for the right tags to compile whatever the output is. Before we get to that stage, though, we're centralizing all of the content in a single database. We're storing all of the XML files of the content, but we're also storing all of the outputs. So if we generate a PDF, if we generate an HTML file, something like that from the XML, all of those files sit in the repository too, so we have a database that is housing all of this stuff. So an example of how this can be used, this is a publication that SAMHSA produced a couple of years ago, and the way that all of the outputs happened were under the old manual process, but they have a product called Preventing Suicide, a toolkit for high schools, and you see the PDF on the bottom right, and that's sort of the traditional, we've produced this toolkit. But then the messages from that publication were repurposed and disseminated via other channels. So there was a press release and a tweet, web content, a blog post, and a Facebook post. All of this was done in those silos. So some there are varying degrees of clearance requirements and just more time being added to the process as you go through this. What the repository solution that we've built allows you to do is essentially take the XML and with a single button you're spitting out the styled PDF, and it captures all of the imagery and it says, okay, the journal title is going to be 24 point, it's going to be blue, and apply the styles and all those presentation elements. It also allows you to spit out a 508 compliant HTML file, a Word document, so you can query the repository based on given terms, get content back in Word format, and if you're writing a speech or if you're doing something else, you just want to copy and paste, it's easy to do that. And that sort of starts to address some of the channels that SAMHSA has traditionally used, but what it also allows you to do is take advantage of essentially new opportunities to get content out to a broader audience. So you can query the repository, and with the use of APIs, which are application programming interfaces, and essentially what allows two systems to talk with one another, other parties can query the repository, find the content that they want, and build things on top of it. And now we've been doing that through our contract, but there are lots of people who are interested in information about behavioral health, and they can do that same thing. And I'll talk about a couple of examples of that. So it really allows SAMHSA to get its message out to a broader audience, and that's important for a few different reasons. First off, we know that behavioral health is taking an increasing prominence under the Affordable Care Act. There's the creation of essential health benefits, and one of those essential health benefits deals with behavioral health issues. A couple of numbers for you. From SAMHSA, we know that there are nearly 46 million Americans who had a mental illness in 2011. And the Affordable Care Act expands the benefits and parity protections for 62 million Americans. So it's important. At the same time, SAMHSA is getting the message to you have to do more with less, and this is certainly not unique to SAMHSA. Budgets are tight, and agencies are being told not only do you need to maintain the status quo, but you need to do new things. There's the White House digital strategy, which is fairly straightforward and basically says, you as a government agency need to reach people where they are. You can't expect people to come to you to get the information that you are providing. So we know these are some Pew statistics. 91% of U.S. adults have a cell phone, 56% have a smartphone, and 72% of internet users have looked online for health information. Now, unless you know about SAMHSA, and unless you are acknowledging that there is something that you need to go to SAMHSA for, you're not going to go to SAMHSA.gov to find this information. So the repository and the system that we've put together allows people, allows SAMHSA to reach those people on their mobile devices and whatever, you know, through whatever channel they use. A couple of examples of this. Now, these are things that third-party organizations with some technical know-how, they can do this too. We've been doing it through our contract, and you see four screenshots of mobile apps there. The two on the left are one app, and the two on the right are another app. So SAMHSA has a role in responding to disasters, whether they're natural disasters like a weather event or a man-made disaster like a mass shooting, something like that. Staff will be deployed to a disaster site to essentially address the behavioral health needs of those who are impacted by the disaster. And what they take right now are these. It says SAMHSA Disaster Kit on it. And this has a handful of publications, certainly not all of the information that SAMHSA has about that they would want to be getting out in these scenarios. But we would, after each incident happened, assemble a bunch of these in our warehouse and ship them out to wherever they needed to go, and then the responder on the scene would use these resources in their work. It includes information for those who are dealing with whatever the disaster is, and it also includes information for the responders themselves to address their own mental health needs. So we said, you know, there's got to be a better way. There is certainly a need for hard copies, and we're not going to stop assembling and shipping these out, but there has to be a better way. So what we've done is built a layer on top of the content repository that takes all of the content that is tagged with the right terms, that uses disaster response or disaster preparedness, those sorts of things, and that's the content that we're using in our mobile app. Every time we update the content in the repository, the new up-to-date content is available for the users of that app. And, of course, by using the mobile channel, it allows us to introduce some of the features and functionality that mobile phones are great for. So if you're familiar with SAMHSA, one of the great assets that they have are databases of information about treatment facilities for mental illness and substance abuse. And they conduct surveys to figure out where all of these facilities are and what type of services they provide. Well, we've built that into the app that then allows the responder to figure out, well, I'm going to a certain place, I need to find the facilities that are in that city, and you can store it on your phone. So we've introduced some sort of cool features like that. We allow through the phone the ability to send the content out via SMS, via email, so we're really taking advantage of those capabilities as well. The other example, the two screenshots on the right, is a slightly broader audience, and it's geared towards parents. SAMHSA has conversation starters, hundreds of them, and it's a print publication that was developed quite some time ago, and all these cards are on a keychain. And the idea is that spending 15 minutes a day talking to your child will improve their mental health. And so we've taken all of those conversation starters. They're in the repository, too. They're available in XML, and we've built a mobile app that offers not just information about bullying, but the actual conversation starters, and the same idea of taking advantage of what mobile devices can do. We have included the flexibility to go in and say, you know, I have a child, and his name is Timmy, and he's 6 years old, and then I pick up Timmy from the bus stop at 3:30 every afternoon. So I'm going to get an alert at 3:30 every afternoon with a conversation starter so that I have something to talk to my child about or some idea of how to start a conversation. So we're doing things like that. These are just two examples, things that we're working on right now, but there are lots of other applications that could be built on top of this that, you know, we plan to continue to do this and also provide all of the technical documentation so that others can do this as well. So a few things that we've learned in this process is essentially to focus first and foremost on the audience and the content, and the format and presentation will come later, and the technology will come later. And it's quite a different mindset. You know, I'm a technical person, and I like technology, but the technology is responding to a specific need. It's not technology for technology's sake. So put your audience's needs first, focus on the content before the technology, and separate the content from the format. So the silos are gone, everything is centralized, and really lots of opportunities exist to now get the content out to the different channels. We aren't offering all of these channels right now, but we're branching out in new areas. So with that, I will wrap up. We'll move on to the next presentation. We do have a booth, so if at the end you don't get your question answered, you can also stop by our booth and ask anything you would like. And yep, come on up.